Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Jepa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Harikrish Jayasri Mataji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I request Tiffany Mataji, please go ahead and give the introduction. Tiffany Mataji, it's all yours, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. We are so very fortunate today to have in our midst Her Grace Jayasri Mataji. Jayasri Mataji is a disciple of His Holiness, or His Divine Grace, I'm so sorry, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. She grew up in Hawaii, at the age of 18, she left home on a spiritual quest. After reading various religious texts and becoming bewildered by the differing philosophies they presented, she prayed to God to send her someone who knew Him. Shortly thereafter, she met Srila Prabhupada. It was 1969 and she was barely 20 years old. In 1974, she received her second initiation from Srila Prabhupada. She is fondly remembered by all for being the one who stitched a saffron coat and hooded cape, which were worn by Srila Prabhupada lovingly for many years. Her Grace Jayasri Mataji later moved to New Vrindavan and served the deities there. Though she has traveled to many other places as part of her multiple devotional services, her core services rest in New Vrindavan. Vaishnava is always par dukkha dukkhi, thus very compassionate and kind at heart. We see that quality so prominent in Mataji. In the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, she painstakingly stitched face masks for all age groups so that devotees could continue their uninterrupted service to Krishna. Hare Krishna, thank you for being with us today, Mataji. It's so wonderful to see you after such a long time.
Yes, I've been a little sick and not too active recently. All right, am I starting?
Yes. Thank you so much, Tiffany Mataji, for kindly introducing. We'll proceed to the next session, which is study of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we welcome Her Grace Jai Sri Mataji once again. Mataji, today we will continue from Canto 5, Chapter 18, verse number 38. Whenever you're ready, Mata, you can take the call over. Hari Bol.
All right, very good. Thank you very much. Nice to see everyone again, and welcome to the wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning. I usually go up to the temple, but here I get to go to the online temple of devotees, so that's always a pleasure. So all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Granga, glories to Srila Prabhupada. She was talking about me meeting Srila Prabhupada, and I just wanted to say that I actually did pray because I was so bewildered. I said, "My dear Lord, if you're here, please send me to someone who knows you." And within a few days, Srila Prabhupada, just Krishna made the arrangement for me to meet Srila Prabhupada in an old Hawaiian house. That's Srila Prabhupada, and I am there as a young girl. I was 20. And Krishna made the perfect arrangement that I go to this house, and Srila Prabhupada was the only one there. And he somehow or other knew we had come, and he invited us in, and that was Krishna's kindness. On a young, bewildered soul. All right, so we shall start. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Janabalava Kiriradadahi Yasodanandana Pradadana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Gurudeva, Jaya Gurudeva. Jaya Guru Deva, Jaya Guru Deva. Nitai Goribo, Haribo, Haribo, Nitai Goribo, Nitai Goribo, Haribo, Haribo, Nitai Goribo. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Bhagavatakacharya, Astrataya, Shatya, Divine Grace. Hasti Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Bhagavatakacharya, Astrataya, Shatya, Divine Grace. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Anantikoita Vaishnava Nikki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur. Prem Sri Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nijai. Shri Vasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gaur Gopinath Shambhakunda Radha Krishna Giri Govardhani. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Maya Ki Jai, Jamuna Maya Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Shri Mati Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindiki Jai. All glories to the Asama devotees, all glories to the Asama devotees. All glories to the Asama devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Guru Angra. All glories to Shri Guru. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from the beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text Number 38. And 39. Oh, let's see, my screen changed. I don't know why.
Karodhu Vishwastiti Sanyamodayam Yase Smitam Nepsita Mikshitur Gunehe Maya Yatayo Brahmate Tadashrayam Gramno Namaste Gunakarma Sakshine.
Did you change my screen view? There you go. Thank you very much. All right. What is it? By regular attendance in the Bhagavatam class and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious in the heart becomes destroyed almost to nil. And thus loving service to the personality of Godhead, who is served with transcendental songs, comes into being an irrevocable fact. So we are fortunate to have the mercy of the appearance of the Srimad Bhagavatam in our lives. So, Karoti performing Vishva of the universe, Stititi, the maintenance, Sham Yama, winding up, Udyam, creation, yasya, of whom? Ipsitam, desired, na, not. Ipsitam, desired, ikshitstu. Of the one glance over, gunat, with the modes of material nature, maya, the material energy. Yata, as much as. Aya iron Brahmate moves. Tat asrayam, place near that Ravna, a magnetic stone. Nama, my respectful obeisances, te unto you. Guna karma sakshine, the witness of the actions and reactions of material nature. So the translation, Srila Prabhupada. O Lord, you do not desire the creation, maintenance, or annihilation of this material world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy, exactly as a piece of iron moves under the influence of a lodestone. Inert matter moves when you glance over the total material energy. And just as a side note, I did look up lodestone because I had never heard the word. And it is actually a type of magnetite or magnetized mineral. So I did not know what that was. So purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes the question arises why the Supreme Lord has created this material world, which is full of suffering for the living entities trapped in it. The answer given herein is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create this material world just to inflict suffering on the living entities. The Supreme Lord creates this world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. Yay, enjoying this world. Well, that's a mistake. The workings of nature are not going on automatically. It is only because the Lord glances over the material energy that it acts in wonderful ways, just as a lodestone is able to be used as a magnet, causes a piece of iron or a piece of iron to move here and there. Because materialistic scientists and so-called Sankhya philosophers do not believe in God, they think that material nature is working without supervision. But that is not the fact. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita 6.18.19, the creation of the material world is explained as follows.
Yadyapi sankhyamane pradana karana jada haite kabunahi jagata srujana niji srishti shakti prabhu sanchara pradane ishwarera shakti tabi haita nirmani.
Tamagori is my Sanskrit scholar. Atheistic Shankya philosophers think that the total material energy causes the cosmic manifestation, but they are wrong. Dead matter has no moving power, and therefore it cannot act independently. The Lord infuses the material ingredients with his own creative potency. Then, by the power of the Lord, matter moves and interacts. Sea waves are moved by the air. The air is created from ether. And ether is produced by the agitation of the three modes of nature. And the three modes of material nature interact due to the Supreme Lord's glance over the total material energy. Therefore, the background of all natural occurrences is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. This is also further explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
जगत कारण नहीं प्रकृति जड रूपा शक्ति संचार या तारे कृष्ण करे कृपा कृष्ण शक्ति प्रकृति गौण कारण अग्नि शक्ति लौना आई चे कारण चरण अतव कृष्ण मूल जगत कारण प्रकृति कारण आई चे अजागर स्थान.
Because prakriti, material nature, is dull and inert, it cannot actually be the cause of the material world. Lord Krishna shows his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert material nature. This Prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes the secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples on the neck of a goat, for they cannot give milk. Thus, it is a great mistake on the part of the material scientists and philosophers to think that matter moves independently.
Yeah. We will see next shloka. Pramathya daityam pravanam rute yomarasaya jagatadi surakara कृत्वाग्रदृष्टे निरगातृतन्वतः क्रीडान् निवेभः प्रणतास्मितं विभूमिति. Thank you.
So we're doing the next verse also because it's the end of the chapter. And the translation is, my Lord, as the original boar within this universe, you fought and killed the great demon Hiranyaksha. Then you lifted me, the earth, from the Garbhodak ocean on the end of your tusk, exactly as a sporting elephant plucks the lotus flower from the water. I bow down before you. Purport. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fifth canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Prayers Offered to the Lord by the Residents of Jambudvipa. So, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste, Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari Nani Visesha Sunyavadi Vishati Deshita. We're born in the darkness of ignorance, but our spiritual master is kindly opening our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So we offer our most humble and respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada has painstakingly come to the U.S. many years ago with the mission of the great souls, heralding the fact that the Supreme Lord is a person and bringing with him the beautiful text of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He had no friends, he had no followers, he had no money. He had one thing. He had faith in the mission of these great souls and his spiritual master, which also handed him the Srimad Bhagavatam and all these great Vedic literatures. And Srila Prabhupada himself, being such a great scholar, was able to take these immense and vast Vedic literatures and put them in a form that would be digestible to the people of this time and age. So he started a movement in a very simple way with nothing, and the people he had at the time were just what would be considered untouchables, basically. Untouchables completely. And with that, and Krishna's mercy, he laid the foundation of a wonderful organization with a means to propagate and change the planet and create a refuge, an oasis for the people of the world. We're so fortunate that Krishna's allowed us to enter into this realm of devotional service. Most of us, or many of us, were not qualified at all. It was just the fact that Lord Chaitanya is so merciful and Srila Prabhupada himself is so open-hearted and merciful and kind and compassionate that he opened the storehouse that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda started many years ago and invited everybody. He built a house in which the whole world could live, right? Where we don't really realize our great fortune. And oftentimes because we think we deserve it, which is a mistake. So here, the verse is about the material world, right? Oh Lord, you do not desire this creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this material world, but you perform these activities for the conditioned souls by your creative energy. Right, Prabhupada goes on to say, the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not wish to create this material world and inflict suffering on the living entities. That makes so much sense. We hear even the Christian and different philosophies and spiritual paths of the world that God is good. And then you look around and you see, oh my God, what a horrible place. God created this place. What kind of person is that that could allow his dear children to be hurt and lose family members or get sick and, you know, have pandemics and war? Look at the war going on in Ukraine and ignorant people waging the war, greedy politicians. What kind of God is that? People think God is bad. He's not good. Could this be their poor fund of knowledge? And that's where we come in. And that's where Srila Prabhupada opens the door for these people. Prabhupada says the personality of Godhead does not wish to create this material world just to inflict suffering. The Lord creates the world only because the conditioned souls want to enjoy it. And that changes the picture, right? We see so many people, they're bewildered. There's no God. How could God be good? How could there be a God if he's letting this mess, this horrible place go on? And all these people that are supposed to be his sons and daughters are facing all these difficulties. If they heard this verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, it would elevate them to a whole different platform of thinking. Recently, there was this thing called the Jerusalem Challenge, which is, if you look it up on YouTube, it's actually a prayer in a African language that was written by a DJ, and his sister sings it, and it just like took off all over the world. It's a prayer that says, my dear Lord, I don't belong here. Take me back to you. I don't belong here. And there's groups all over the world that have grabbed this. And you'll see all kinds of groups. And they're dancing a certain dance step. And the music is the same exact music. But it's a prayer. And to me, it was so interesting that people from all over the world, policemen, social workers, hospital workers, airlines people, they were all doing the same dance in their uniforms, inside of churches, inside of Catholic churches, the priests and the nuns were doing this dance. And I thought, this is so amazing. This, to me, was like Lord Chaitanya's influence. Like, okay, we get up and dance to God to pray, please, I don't belong here. Please take me home, basically. So some of the devotees, and I know that some of the devotees in Hungary participated. And they did the same dance step in front of places where people would see Prabhupada. They would see the deities. And we know that thousands of people are watching these videos. So we just thought, well, what a nice opportunity to preach. Okay, and then as usual, there were the fault finders who had to come into the picture. Oh, this isn't right. It shouldn't be done in the temple. You know, instead of appreciating the intent behind it and maybe giving a suggestion, of course, give a suggestion. It was like, wow, you know, critical. It was like, whoa. And then Varshana Maharaj was asked to comment on it. And he started off by saying how appreciative he was of the reasoning, the idea behind what was done. And then he went on to raise the whole thing to another platform. And then he explained how the palace itself is a tirtha, and in a wonderful, non-critical way, explained how it would have been better to have it done in another location in New Vrindavan besides in the temple. It was like, yes, of course, that makes so much sense. So here we see that Prabhupada, what he's doing is taking the whole thing to a different level. It's not that Krishna wants to make, you know, he's not like the uneducated person, which is most people nowadays, spiritually uneducated. They have no understanding of who God is. And they, you know, even amongst people who have some indication, they don't know who God is. God is some old man in a cloud somewhere. God is an impersonal void. God is a force. God is throwing thunderbolts. There's old paintings in churches of God up in a cloud throwing thunderbolts. It's like the fund of knowledge about God is so limited in this age. So then you have someone like Srila Prabhupada simply explaining and raising the consciousness of people. And this is where we come in. We've been influenced, and as Prabhupada, we use the term infected. We've become infected by this way of thinking. So to us, it's a norm. But for most people in the world, it's just so different than what they're hearing. So it's our good fortune, as Indra Dumna Swami would say. We get the mercy of spreading the good fortune to everyone, however we can think of it, and figure out some way to help. Prabhupada also, one of his, it seems in many, many places, one of his main things, impersonalism, voidism. Right? Prabhupada's always the personality of Godhead, the personality of Godhead. He could have just said God. God is like a title. But he always prefaced it, the personality of God. Go back home, back to Godhead, a person. He always emphasized that. And in the prayers to Srila Prabhupada, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschachadeshatarni. Our respectful obeisances unto you, O spiritual master servant of Saraswati. You are kindly preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya and delivering the Western worlds, which are filled with impersonalism and voidism. Right? Just filled with impersonalism. So this was Prabhupada's mission. Unfortunately, people of this age are not interested, especially in the Western countries. They should be putting some endeavor into their spiritual life, even a small percentage of the material endeavor would be helpful, but honestly, most people spend no time. So if we can find a way, which is what Prabhupada, he gave us. He gave us the blueprints. Rathayatras, festivals. Lord Chaitanya gave those same blueprints. Festivals, prasadam, right? Prasadam distribution, knowledge, book fairs, book tables. It's so much fun. Not only did we get the win the lottery, we have a fun way to use that, to spread that gain to people in general. It's fun. Lord Chaitanya's movement is fun, right? Dancing, chanting, feasting, festivals, sadhusanga's coming up. They're going to have sadhusanga in Utah. That is great. New Vrindavan, of course, will be open. We'll have our different festivals. New Vrindavan's a great place. It's just a wonderful oasis of great souls and great activities with places for people to stay. The grounds are beautiful. It's like a botanical garden here. It's just a great restaurant, incredible gift shop, which, by the way, will be expanding into the prior prasadam room. It's going to be a huge gift shop. They will be doing Zoom sales. Anyone who wants to walk around with Lakshman can walk around, and he will take you to the different deities, deity clothes, altars, all, you know, whatever your heart desires, because buying that type of thing of quality in the U.S. is not so easy. So he will personally take you around so you can purchase things. He's an incredible soul. So Prabhupada used to say that if you want to enter fire, first you have to become like fire. So here we have all these souls in this world, and so many of them are going, they're running the wrong way. They're running towards materialism and running away from the influence of the Supreme Lord and his devotees and teachings. And in doing that, they're leaving the fire. They're becoming cold and dead, basically. The souls are getting covered over. And when the souls get away from the influence of the all good personality of Godhead, they become cold, hard-hearted, and are capable of doing so many bad things. Right? So we see in previous days and ages, people had more God consciousness. They, excuse me, I gotta close this window. My eyes are super light sensitive right now. They've gone away from God, and they've gone towards this advertised happiness on the material platform. So we see the face of the world has changed. Just simple things, the way women dress. Okay, if you look at the great grandmothers or the century before, women, they had high neck, long sleeve, long dresses, often with hats on. And they were taught etiquette. They were basically ladies too. No one would kiss in public. That was just like totally taboo. You just didn't do that type of thing. You didn't actually. My mother told me, she, you know, you hardly talked to men. So now what do we see? People are running away from God. They're running towards all this nonsense. And they're becoming covered over. So now what do we see? All over the world, half-naked women with no discrimination as to what is being shown. And interactions between men and women I remember when I was young watching movies. I mean, it would be unusual to even see somebody kiss. And that kiss would just be a little kiss. Now it's like, you just can't even go there. It's just, it's sad. It's just so sad. So when people go away from the good, all good personality of Godhead, they become contaminated. So, and it's funny because Prabhupada came to America and America was just so contaminated, but he didn't change his standard to facilitate. You know, the first thing you do when you move into the temple back in those days was you cover up, you put on a sari, you cover your head. You don't talk to the man. I mean, in some cases it was done to the extreme, unfortunately, where women were somewhat abused. But not to say that's funny. But, you know, the pendulum swings until it kind of goes in the middle. But we see what Prabhupada did was to, on every level, influence cleanliness, austerity. You don't stay up all night and go to a party and go to a dance and go to a club and dance naked and drink intoxications and go and have sex with this person and that person, right? That's what's happening nowadays. That's what was happening when Prabhupada came. What did he do? He totally changed the picture. No intoxication, no illicit sex life, no meeting, no gambling. Wow. You know, and people followed. Why? Because Prabhupada was an empowered person. We are also connected to that magnet of Krishna. We are also empowered. It's our mission. And we can help the people of the world. Stop illicit sex life. Stop meat eating. Stop gambling. We just have to find our personal way to do it. Right? It's all individual. Nobody's going to do what somebody else does. We need to follow in the footsteps and not try and imitate because we may not come up to them. So what time is it now? It's almost 7 o'clock. I mean, almost 8 o'clock. Today is the appearance, disappearance. One second. Let me grab my calendar. Today is the disappearance of Srila Jagannath Das Babaji, and then it says Rasikananda. Okay, so if it's all right, I would like to talk about them because they are part of this wonderful movement that have had a great influence on our lives. I'm just going to read a bit about Jagannath Das Babaji, and I thought that would be good. So Jagannath Das Babaji. Siddha Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj lived for 144 years. He took Diksha from Sri Madhusudan Das Babaji and did bhajan for many years at Surya Kund in Vrindavan. Bhaktivinod Thakur received valuable instructions on pure devotional service from him. His practice was to live 6 months in Navadvip Dham and 6 months in Vraj Mandal. During his time, said Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji was the most advanced Rasika Vaishnava in the Gaudiya and Vraj Mandal and Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him the title Sarvabhoma, the chief of the Vaishnava. At 125 years old, his body appeared to be bent like a semicircle. His eyelids hung over his eyes like heavy stage curtains. Standing on either side two disciples would lift his droopy eyelids so that he could offer Tulsi Manjaris to his deities. Giri Rajgopi. Since Jagannath Das Babaji could barely walk, Bihari, his Rajvasi servant, used to carry him on his shoulders. But whenever there was Nam Kirtan, Jagannath Das Babaji would bolt out of his basket and leap 4 feet into the air. In great ecstasy, he would begin to sing and dance. He performed various bhajans despite his physical limitations. He was fond of chanting loudly in both japa and kirtan. During kirtan, he would sing Nitai Ki Nam Enriche Re, Ki Nam Enriche Re, Ki Nam Enriche Re. O Lord Nityananda, what a wonderful name you have brought. O Nitai, what a wonderful name you have given. After chanting almost the whole night, the next morning he would offer 1,108 dandavats to deities. He was always enthusiastic to serve the Vaishnavas. He lived as an ascetic following a strict diet, and yearly Chaturmasya 4 months fast. The first month, he ate only 4 bananas in the evening. Second month, only guavas. Third month, only whey. Fourth month, only boiled banana flours without salt. My God, amazing. Once he begged a roti, flatbread, from a Vrindavan street sweeper. Hearing about this, the leading men of Vrindavan said to Jagannath Das Babaji, Baba, you are the crest jewel of Raj. It pains us to hear anyone criticizing. But now everyone is talking against you. They are saying, Baba's gone mad. If he defies the age-old tradition, what will happen to society? I don't know exactly what that means. Maybe it was Ekadasi. Babaji replied, you are all learned people. Don't you know the importance of the dust of Vrindavan? So it is so surcharged with Krishna Prem that even Lord Brahma desires to become a particle of Raj dust. Therefore, isn't it a Vrindavan? Oh, I see. It was because he begged from a street sweeper. Therefore, isn't it a Vrindavan street sweeper who is constantly serving the dust beneath, rolling in it and bathing in it more purely than anyone else? Silence filled the air, indicating everyone's acceptance of Babaji's reply. While living in Navadvip Dham, Jagannath Das Babaji showed deep respect towards all residents. Even when some puppies ate from his plate, he didn't protest. Bihari, his servant, became disgusted to see dogs devouring his guru's prasadam, and he drove them away. Jagannath Das Babaji scolded Bihari. These puppies are residents of the holy dham. They are not ordinary living entities. I will not eat until they come back and share the mahaprasadam on my plate. At the age of 142, couldn't see or walk. To confirm his findings, Bhaktivinoda Thakur requested Jagannath Das Babaji to see Lord Chaitanya's appearance place. Intoxicated with Gaur Prem, Jagannath Das Babaji leaped high into the air and began to chant and dance at the discovery of the Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's yoga feet. Out of compassion for all the conditioned souls, Jagannath Das Babaji transferred his power of bhajan knowledge and shastras and prema bhakti directly into the heart of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And this was said by Sripad B.V. Narayan Maharaj. Okay, Jagannath Das Babaji had many disciples who he often gave the following instructions to. You must avoid women, men who associate with women or with men, who is any way associated with a man who associates with them. Two, to realize the supreme goal of life, you must repeat Harinam regularly and steadfastly. Steadiness is so important that it must be maintained even at the cost of one's life. Three, never forget Gaura, who is more merciful and benevolent than Krishna. Krishna is just like a ruler who takes into account your offenses and his administration of justice. Gaura does not take your offenses into account, whereas Krishna is more interested in the dispensation of justice. Gaura is more interested in the distribution of mercy. From his viewpoint, Gaura Kirtan is more useful than Krishna Kirtan. Gaura Kirtan means Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhanichananda Sri Adoita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta. Four, Krishna is the avatar of Dwapara Yuga. Gaura is the Kali Yuga avatar. We should sing the names and glories of the avatar in which whose age we live. Just as in a kingdom, we praise the ruling king. Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari. Jai Sachinandana Gaura Hari. The Sonar Gauranga Temple in Gopal Bagh, Vrindavan, houses Gornitai's deities once worshipped by Suri. In Suryakund by Jagannath Das Babaji. In Krishna Lila, he serves as Rasika Manjari. Wow. Such great souls that have come in our midst with such great instructions, just lifting us out of this Kali Yuga and giving us heart direction. So next we know about Rasikananda. Rasikananda is one of the personalities around the time of Narottam Das Thakur. And Shyamananda, who is one of the good friends of Narottam Das Thakur, is his spiritual master. So Rasikananda, Sri Rasikananda, Rasik Murari, appeared as the son of a king. He became a perfect sage, Gaudiya Vaishnava scholar, Rasika Bhakta, and the most beloved disciple of Sri Shyamananda Prabhu. On Shyamananda Prabhu's order, Rasikananda became the head pujari and served his guru's deity of Govindaji with total dedication. His attentive loving service increased Govindaji's beauty and pleasure. Rasika Murari enchanted the devotees with his unprecedented deity service. After firmly establishing Govindaji's worship, he accepted Shyamananda's order to preach. He traveled widely for 40 years, influencing everyone with the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rasikananda delivered everyone from highest royal families to Muslims, outcasts, agnostics, atheists, and even wild animals. One time, some mad elephants attacked Rasikananda, and he calmly chanted Gauranga, Gauranga, Krishna, Krishna, while sprinkling water on the rampaging beasts. The elephants immediately stopped charging, humbly bowed down their heads, and raised their trunks and bellowed, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. At the time of leaving his body, Rasikananda began a powerful kirtan. Then he left this world by entering into the Shir Kochora Gopinath deity in Ramuna, Orissa. Devastated in separation, his disciples dropped their mridangas, kartals, and their bodies. The Pushpa Samadhis of all of these pure devotees stand near the temple. Rasikananda Prabhu's Pushpa Samadhi stands next to Shyamananda Prabhu's near the temple of Radha Shyam Sundar. Amazing, amazing people. I've been listening to Indra Dumna Swami's talks on YouTube, and a lot of his talks have been about these great souls. And it's just a wealth of information of who these great devotees are, how they've propagated Krishna consciousness, who they are in the spiritual world, the influence they've had on Gaudiya Vaishnavas, their contribution in so many different ways by their life. And it's just a joy to listen to, just a joy to listen to. And although my feeble brain doesn't retain much, I still feel very fortunate to be able to have the opportunity to hear. What is it? Hearing, chanting, remembering, worshiping, serving, the nine processes of devotional service. And it says, if one perfects even one, then he makes this necessary progress. So we shouldn't be discouraged that we don't have maybe the association we want or the temple nearby that we want or the ability to be a scholar in these beautiful literatures or, you know, opportunity for doing different services that we see. Personally, if I was younger, I would join Indra Dumna Swami's Polish tour and go on parikram with different devotees, you know, go to the eco village and serve there. So many great things. But I hear that even if one has the mental idea to do these things, there's benefit. So if we can't do it in reality, physically, then we can also have the enthusiasm and desire to do it. So that's to our credit anyway. So we can't expect to become like these great devotees. Look at who they are. They're people that have descended from the spiritual world to open the door of devotion, madhouse of Kali Yuga. So, I mean, I don't know about anyone else. I don't feel that I've descended from anywhere except a lower planet or something. And that's, you know. So we need to be patient with our spiritual advancement and do the best we can and try and become purified. Hari Nam, Hari Nam, Hari Nam Eva Keva. Hello Nasteva 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 Gatiranyata. We have a process to purify our heart that we can try, that we can do with as much focus and sincerity and endeavor as we can. And then Krishna will provide opportunity. Right? We can only do so much. We're dependent on Krishna to provide opportunities and service. And if he sees our sincerity, and if we're trying to serve the devotees, however, and we're not offensive, and I'll tell you, I think one of the worst things that we can do is be critical of other devotees. We may feel they're not doing something right, but to backbite and be critical, you know, oh, well, look at they did this and this and this and that. There's certain people here that do that. And it's just so distasteful. It's like, what is the point? What is the point of that type of talk? Better you say absolutely nothing than spew and contaminate the atmosphere with that kind of talk. Sure, people are going to do things wrong. Absolutely. But Marshana Maharaj's comment, because people had gone to him in a very negative, critical way, and he just turned the whole thing and lifted the whole thing with his knowledge and way of doing things, so that you felt, oh, okay, well, it wasn't done the best it could be done. And hopefully there was no offenses to Prabhupada or the deities. And if we do it again, maybe we can do it this way or that way and still do it, right? We don't want to discourage anyone from doing a service. You know, it's like, what is that saying? You point your finger at somebody and there's three fingers pointing back at you. It's like, look at yourself. You know, do you really have the right to be a negative, critical, blasphemous type of person? Do you really want to be that way? Sure, you may have a point. But if you know so much and you're so advanced and this other person is so mistaken, then you should be able to present your argument in such a way to lift them up and show them how it might have been done better. But certainly your criticism is not going to help the situation. It's just going to discourage a possible sincere person or just make the atmosphere really negative, which we don't need. Kali Yuga is negative, and right? So no matter where we are, what facility we have for our service, we can always work on ourselves. And without doing that, we need to become instruments that Krishna wants to use in his service. And that we can do every day, at every moment, hearing, chanting, remembering, honoring the devotees, you know, taking whatever opportunity Krishna gives us. And then he can empower us to do more and more. But we have to, what is the word I'm looking for? We have to be qualified. We have to act in such a way that Krishna wants to use us to represent him. And Prabhupada wrote to me one time and he said to preach, but he said, preach nicely. And at that point, it was many, many years ago, and I would go preach, but it's so easy, especially when you're new, to kind of chop people down. Right? But you're doing this and you're doing that and you should be doing this and you should be doing that, and you know, but to preach nicely, to uplift people is a better way to do things, right? You attract more people like Prabhupada did. You attract more people with honey. And then once you have them and they respect you, then you can not criticize them, but you can help them find their mistakes and grow. We want to help water the plants of devotion. You know, delicate plants need special care. And when people are new, especially, even if they're old, if you consider them not advanced, even if they're old, even if they've been around for years, even if you consider them not advanced, oh, well, they're not they can't do this and they don't know how to do that and they're not doing this. I mean, they may have done that in the past. They may have done it right in the past and now they're not able to. Or they just may not be. Maybe they started off in a very farther down place. And maybe they're just coming to a certain place, even though they've been around for 50 years. But to respect what they've done and to assist them is a much better way. We don't want to find fault and become negative. It's a fact. The devotees that have been around for many years, some of them aren't doing as well as they did in the past, or, you know, it kind of bewildering. Well, how could that person be chanting Hare Krishna for 50 years and still be like that? You know, I think that sometimes. I think that about myself sometimes. My God. Maybe I've got one step towards Krishna. Maybe I've got 1%, like Prabhupada talks about the bank balance. But it's the best I can do, and it's the best they can do. And, you know, we can pray for them, pray for us. All right, so I think that is the end of the class. I hope it was helpful in some way. And if anyone has any questions or concerns or additions, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mataji. Wonderful class. Thank you so much for your association. As you just mentioned, yes, devotees, please go ahead while we have Mataji here. Ask all your questions that you might have. Hare Krishna.
Okay, looks like no one has any questions. I don't know if that's good or bad, but go ahead, sorry.
Hare Krishna, Srihari Radha Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat, Pranam Mataji, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for giving a class today. It's really nice hearing about Jagannath Das Babaji and the other Babaji and the guideline that he has put, you know, how to stay away from those that are in those kind of state of mind, the guideline that you read to us. Mataji, okay. You reading that from a piece of paper?
I have it on my computer. I copied it off of the web. I was looking for something that wasn't too long that would give an overall summary of Jagannath Das Babaji's life.
And the other thing, Mataji, can you tell us a short story about you and Prabhupada coming together and doing some seva or some realization or some experience with him you had that was very rememberable and cherished?
Well, yes, I can do this. This picture is me and Srila Prabhupada. Can you see? That young girl there is actually me. And that's Srila Prabhupada. And this is one of the first Harinams in Hawaii. We had gone from the temple. I wasn't living at the temple. I was just that red truck that's in the picture. They came and picked me up in that red truck where I was living in Hawaii on the coast on the North Shore. They picked me up and we went to the seaside. And you can see Srila Prabhupada has an umbrella in his hand. I don't know if you can see that. So Prabhupada had an umbrella.
Yes,
and can you see the picture?
Yes. It's a black umbrella.
Yes, okay. And can you see me there?
Yes.
With the mini dress?
Yeah.
I had a very short dress on.
Yes.
Which I had made. Okay, so, I mean, I had met Prabhupada a few days before, and then they invited me to go on this little outing with them. So they came and they picked me up in that red truck. Prabhupada was in the front with Gaurisundar was driving and Govindadasi was there. And all the other devotees, which was only a handful, were in the back. And I believe they were all men. And there I was, a brand new girl with a short mini dress on, sitting in the back of a truck with some men that were devotees. And Prabhupada himself had been so friendly, just so friendly with me when I met him. I went the first day, sat with him for, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes or a half an hour, and nobody else, no devotees were there. First time they had ever left Prabhupada alone. There were no devotees there. It was just me and him and this friend that had brought me up there. And then I would go back and I would just get to sit with Srila Prabhupada and we would talk about just different things. And so when they picked me up, I expected all these other devotees to be warm and friendly like he was. But they weren't. They were sitting in the back of the truck, the men, and they wouldn't look at me. They didn't acknowledge me. They were sitting with their beads. And I would assume it's because I had this short mini dress on. And who knows how I was sitting. You know, you don't, when you're in that consciousness, you don't think, oh, you know, this is showing or that's showing or my legs are showing. And, you know, I was used to being friendly with anybody, with the men. So I was trying to be friendly with them and they wouldn't even look at me. It was sitting in the back with the beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, you know, chanting and not even acknowledging me. And so when we parked, Prabhupada got out, everyone got out, and I jumped out and I thought, oh, I'm not going to try and talk to these guys. These guys aren't so nice. I'm going to go talk to the older gen. I'm going to go talk to the Swami. He was so nice. So I ran over and started talking to him. And he stopped. And that picture is where I had stopped him and was talking to him. And he looked at me as he had several times when I was talking with him. And he, in the few days past, he looked kind of down. He looked at me and he said, do you not know you are woman? And he put his cane into the ground. And when Prabhupada said something like that, just volumes of knowledge went through your brain. Wow, yeah, don't I know I'm a woman? What am I doing? I, you know, don't know how to act. And it was just all this knowledge just flooded my brain. And somehow or other, I understood so many things at that point. And one was that I should not be wearing a short dress. So I have to say, to this day, I never wear a short dress. That's just not what I do. Because it infiltrated my heart. Anyway, that was one story.
How did you feel when you were standing in front of him and looking at him and hearing his voice?
I fell in love with Prabhupada right away. He was like the best friend that I'd been looking for. And I finally found him. And he was just so sweet with me. Just so kind and so sweet and so personal. One of the times when we talked, when I had brought my Bhagavad Gita, and I was sitting right next to him, and he was showing me the Bhagavad Gita that I had brought, that it was translated by somebody that didn't even acknowledge Krishna as a person. And then Prabhupada turned to me and he said, oh, do you like me? And he was smiling and laughing, and so sweet. And I said, oh, yes, I just love you. You know, it was just an exchange that saved my life, basically. I feel by the time I met Srila Prabhupada, I was already following all the regulated principles somehow or other by Krishna's arrangement. And I know that Krishna had cultured me up to that point. And then when I was ready and totally bewildered spiritually and prayed, Krishna put me right at the feet of Srila.
Jai Ho Mataji.
It was just Krishna's mercy, Krishna's way of dealing with. He felt sorry for me. This poor soul really needs the mercy. So, and because of that strong.
Mataji, can you bless the entire class that one day we'll be seeing Prabhupada face to face and we'll sit in his class and hear his class and he'll be present there before us? Can you bless everybody in the class?
Well, that would be wonderful. But I have to say, You do have that on a different level. I know. I mean, like right now when I'm giving class, I have a picture of Srila Prabhupada there and a picture of Srila Prabhupada there. And whenever I'm doing what Prabhupada told me specifically to do, it's almost like I hear his voice. I mean, I have to say, I feel his association extremely close. And when you go to the palace, Prabhupada's presence, he told the devotees when they built the palace, he would come there and live. And he has. He's definitely there. So although it may not be that Prabhupada in that particular incarnation or form is going to come and we're going to be able to sit in front of him again, we are sitting in front of him. We are connected with him. Prabhupada said, ISKCON is my body. That's a big statement. ISKCON is Prabhupada's body. It is his love. It is his care. And you'll see when devotees abuse that body or those people that are in it, Krishna shows them the door for something. You know, it's just the way it is.
Just bless her, Mataji. Bless us so much that we are always going to be with Prabhupada. Nothing can separate us and nothing can make us forget him. And we'll always love him in our heart and in our lives. Just bless all of us. Please, please, please. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Okay, well, blessings for you and blessings for me too. So, my brother, I need blessings.
Lots of thank yous to you from everybody and me. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
I see all these messages coming up, but they're happening so fast. I don't really have a way to read them. Let me see if I can expand my screen. Yes, they're little messages with my poor tired eyes. I had this cataract surgery in my eyes.
We can read it for you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Meena Mataji, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah. One was, dear Jai Shri Mataji Shiman, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for your invaluable association, Malati Prabhu, and you are transcendental sisters, undeniably empowered and such sincere servants of Srila Prabhupada, your most grateful servant, Dalita Devi Dasi. You made me two aprons. Oh, Mataji, she's complimenting you. You made Mataji two aprons.
Oh, so. Yes, I'm an apron maker sometimes.
And then we have another one, and she says, thank you very much for sharing your precious story. Tiffany Mataji was saying, then Lalitangi Mataji was saying, we are fortunate to We are fortunate that we are hearing your class. The next generation would ask us to bless them with the same fortune. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
And then Hare, and then we have another comment saying, Hare Krishna, thanks Mataji for sharing fond memories, stories, wonderful. So
I tell you, I'm always apprehensive about giving class. I don't know if I should, but I do it because Prabhupada gave me a certain instruction. And I know, I mean, I listen to some of these great classes, and I know it's not like trying to be humble. I know I'm not a great speaker like so many of these people, but I also know that by doing it, I learn, I focus, I feel like I'm doing what Srila Prabhupada asked me to do. And so I just do it. And I have fun doing it. I always learn something.
Samantha Jen, you're wonderful, definitely. Very nice. Thank you so much. We also have Vrinda Mataji saying, very beautiful class, very fortunate to hear from you. Please come back soon again to give class. Nice to see your picture with Prabhupada. Yes, and Vrinda Gopika Mataji, Hare Krishna, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And then we have, please accept our humble obeisances on behalf of all Vaishnavas, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Her Grace, Jai Sri Mataji, your association is very important for all of us in USA. Thank you, Mataji. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna.
Which Mahendra is that?
Mahendra Prabhuji, are you there? Would you like to let
me know? Yashumati
Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Very, very instructive class. And I cannot speak anything more because you just glorify the Prabhupada and you just so everything, you whatever you said. I'm so fortunate. I hear you. I heard you.
Thank you. But who is Mahendra? Which Mahendra made the comment?
Mahendra is my husband.
Oh, okay. Okay. Because when we first started, an old friend of mine joined and his name was Mahendra. So I was just wondering if that was him. Faith McElroy. Okay.
Archana Mataji, you have a question. Would you like to go ahead?
Yes, Hare Krishna Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for the wonderful class. I have two questions. How did Srila Prabhupada's teachings help you in hard times? I would like to understand from you. And the other thing is, like you were mentioning, that how women should dress, long sleeves, sari, etc. So nowadays, what I see, and even for myself, I'm speaking, that whenever we have service in the temple, I do wear, we wear saris, but when we have to go out shopping or other things, then it's not so comfortable wearing a sari, or we feel scared in USA to wear a sari. We want to look like the common people here. So, right. If you could help us in that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, honestly, I have some internal problem. So, I don't wear saris unless I dress the deities. I have a whole closet full of saris. I love wearing saris. But if you look it up, there is some kind of disease actually caused by wearing saris. That tight petticoat around your waist, and then I tie my sari. I don't stick it into my petticoat. So I have two things tied around my waist, that when you sit down or move, it doesn't give. It's like a rope around your waist. And so it affects the internal organs. Now, for me, it became a problem. But the idea of the saris is the chastity, the beauty, so that people know we're the Hare Krishna people. Prabhupada wanted that. And I used to wear my sari out. And I do sometimes still when I'm wearing saris. But this is what I usually wear out. Something like this. This is a long dress. It's a long dress, and there's so many beautiful long dresses and skirts that you can buy. I mean, there's so many everywhere that you can buy. And I know that when I go out and dress in a dress or a skirt and a top, a long skirt, people almost always come up to me and say, "Oh, you are such a lady." We don't see ladies very often. And when I was younger, for better or for worse, men would come up to me and say, "Oh, you look so beautiful." Or ladies, "Oh, they see the, look at the beautiful embroidery." They love it. They just love it. I never wear pants. I never look like everybody else. I don't wear a sari, and I don't look like a Muslim, and I don't look whatever. I wear a Punjabi top and a skirt, or I wear a dress, but people always comment, and they treat me like a lady. You see, what is everyone, at least around here, all the ladies, if you look over in Walmart, or everyone's got jeans and a t-shirt, jeans and a t-shirt. It's like, I would never wear that, never. But at the same time, I feel like I'm dressed like a lady. People appreciate what I'm wearing. And I don't have to dress like the common, you know, in jeans and t-shirts. Sorry, it's just definitely something I'm not going to do. But if I did wear pants, it would be some type of anarkali and a Punjabi pants. Anyway, people love it. I find people love it. I don't usually wear my tilak because of problems that we had here years ago. But you know what? Even now people come up to me and say, "Oh, you're from the farm, right?" And I don't have anything on me. It's just, I said, "Well, how did you know?" "Well, just something about you, you know, and it's also the way I'm dressed." Anyway, that's my opinion.
Mataji, have you ever been to Vrindavan?
Yeah, probably about 7 or 8 times.
Was your stay there pleasant?
Oh, yes. It's always been wonderful. It's always been wonderful. I always go with somebody. With Malati, or, you know, I don't travel alone. I mean, oh, what were you saying? You were saying, you were asking when someone, how has Prabhupada's teachings helped me through the bad times, right? It's, you know, bad times are going to happen. We're here in Kali Yuga. It's just the way it is. You know, there's going to be wonderful things and bad things. And, you know, it's happiness and distress. That's what we signed up for. So it's going to come no matter where we are, no matter how long we've been a devotee, there's going to be happiness and distress. Well, we know it's happiness and distress. The rest of the people who have no deeper knowledge don't know what's going on. My daughter passed away when she was 3 and a half at the temple. You know, and my take on it was so, so different than the other people who were karmi, type of people, no information. My experience was totally different. It wasn't like the end of my world. It wasn't like I was so bewildered. I knew what was going on. I knew she didn't die. I knew her body was finished and that she went on, the soul. I mean, just that makes so much of a difference. You know, Prabhupada's teachings, it's not Prabhupada's teachings, it's Krishna's teachings brought by Prabhupada, brought by the great souls. Krishna is the writer of this information. It's his creation. He knows his creation. And he gives us information about how it works. Bhagavad Gita, that's how Krishna's place works. He built the place, and this is what it's like. Modes of nature, this is why people do this, do that. This is how it works. The soul's never destroyed. I mean, what more could we possibly want? And if I didn't have that, I can't imagine what my life would be like. Sometimes it can be very difficult. You know, we're suffering here. There's no doubt about it. But without this knowledge and understanding and the fact that a lot of my karma has been washed away by mercy and by these activities, my God, what a mess I would be in. Who knows? Who knows where I'd be or what would happen to me at the time of death?
Thank you, Mataji. That was helpful. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Okay, very good. All right, it's actually almost time for me to go. I have to get some breakfast and I have to be somewhere at 9.
Thank you so much, Jayashri Mataji, for such a wonderful class, Mataji. Your class is always, you have so much about Srila Prabhupada in every session of yours. It's so wonderful to hear from you, Mataji. Thank you so much for coming and giving us this very, very valuable association. We pray that we can see you again next time, Mataji. Vansha Kalpata Vitya
Vidya Vidya
Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya
Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya Vidya V